troops into a trap at Mount Tabor, right near the Kishon River. It is a matter of good wisdom to involve and seek advice from others with wisdom and experience. For Barak, he enlists the help of Deborah, this godly woman. I have to say that I have consulted with my wife on a number of matters, and we do discuss things about the ministry and about the folks at the church and how to best deal with them. In fact, we were talking today about some of those things, about folks and dealing with them and so on. And, you know, I know God has given her some wisdom that I can consult with and draw upon. And that's very much so. You might say a husband and wife can complement each other in a lot of ways like that. And, you know, so that's good. Now, what happens in this battle? Well, in Judges chapter 4, verse 11, look at this. Now, this Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, there are relationships there, he has severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plain of Zanim, which is by Kedesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, was gone to Mount Tabor. Sisera gathered together all his chariots, you remember the 900 of them, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles to the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, here's her advice. She said, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted off his chariot and ran. He fled away on foot. Wow. So it was the Lord that won this great victory. All of Jabin's troops were killed. We read that. And even Sisera got out and ran, was running away from the battle. What is there any spiritual significance to this? I read where Mr. Spurgeon brought a message on Judges chapter 4, and the title of the message was Sin Slain. Sisera, the general of the enemy, represents sin, and Jabin is a type of Satan. I mean, these were evil men, men that hated God, and something interesting happens to this Sisera. As he ran on his feet, as he ran away, verse 17, he ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. And verse 18, and Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear, you don't have to be afraid. I'll take care of you. And when he had turned in unto her, she covered him with a mantle. I guess he was so worn out and tired that all he wanted to do is lay down. And he said to her, can you give me a little water to drink? I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink, and covered him. And again he said unto her, stand at the door of the tent, And it shall be when any man does come in and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? You will say, no, there's nobody here. Now, what happened? Verse 21, then Jael, the Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail in his temples and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. Man, that looks like something in Halloween Part 7. I mean, you know, imagine that. You going in to lay down, you drinking a bottle of milk, and all of a sudden you got a nail driven right through. Drove a nail right through your head. And pretty violent, right? But Mr. Spurgeon insisted that his point was, is that we should not be content to merely defeat sin. We should look at sin slain by the work of Jesus, knowing that He has already won the battle. He's already defeated the enemy. And what we have to do is to drive a tent peg through our own sinful flesh. That's what we need to do. We need to put our own sin to death. As Colossians puts it, mortify your members which are upon earth. If you've been risen with Christ, seek the things which are above where Christ dwelleth. And then we're to mortify our sinfulness. Well, that's hard to do. To drive a nail through our own sinful flesh, to destroy that sin so that it might not be our ruin. And it's not the first time that I've even seen a preacher decide that he don't want his wife no more and leave the wife of his youth and go and find another woman. And he thinks that that's going to satisfy him. He thinks that's going to make him happy. I'm saying a preacher, but it could be anybody, you know. Anybody even that professes to know the Lord. But as I've counseled with folks that have gone through that, I always tell them, it's not maybe your fault so much, because, and I realize, you know, hey, it takes two to tangle, right? But I tell them that, hey, you know what, do you honestly think that person that has left you for someone else, do you think that they're ultimately going to be happy with that other person? In 50 years of being a minister, I have never found it to work out with the other one. Now think about it. If that person agrees to say, oh, you're married, and I'll take up with you, what does that tell about that person's character? And how could you ever trust a person like that? Think about it. Could you ever trust a person like that? Because if they were willing to commit adultery with you against your spouse, how long do you think they're going to stay in your relationship until they find someone else they like better? So I'm saying that never works out. But you know how we are by sinful nature, right? We're never satisfied. We always think, you know, I'll be a lot more satisfied. You know, in other words, the grass is always greener on the other side. We're like those cows and horses, you know, they got their nose stuck through the fence and they're looking over there. They think that grass is going to be better than the grass that they've already got. But they end up getting stuck in the fence. And you know the old adage, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, but the water bill's a lot higher. That's true. That's true. Nobody seems to win in that. And so the idea is, we need to put our own sin to death. We need to put that to death. Or it'll be the death of us. It'll hurt us. Now here's the third thought. The idea is this. Don't be a one-man band. You know, we're not going to be able to defeat the enemy on our own efforts. A lot of people say, I can do it all by myself. Well, I don't need anybody. I don't need my husband or wife. I don't need the pastor. I don't need the church. I don't need the brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. I'm going to do it all by myself. No, you won't. You're not a one-man band. This is a one-man show. Number one, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Do we realize how much our sins grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God? So we need the Holy Spirit. Well, Barak enlisted 10,000 men from his tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun. We read that and when you read the Song of Deborah, you see that in Judges 5 in verse 14, that out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek, and after thee, Benjamin, among my people, out of Maker came down the governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handled the pen of the writer. Verse 18, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places in the field. They were willing to get involved. They were willing to come to the battle. They were willing to get involved. Reuben, Dan, Asher, and Gilead. So Sisera is defeated. You know, God sent a massive rainstorm, and the armies of Canaan got so bogged down, they started fighting each other. And that's when you know the victory's won, is when the enemy starts fighting each other, and the rain, it's done. Well, one last thing here for you, and thank you for coming back today and staying awake a little bit. One last thought. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Because when you read Judges chapter 5, which I don't have time to get into that, but it's identical really to the events of chapter 4. Judges chapter 5 is a celebration song. You might say Deborah was the Grammy winner of her day. And chapter 5 restates the events of chapter 4. But what she does is she gives praise to God for the awesome victory. She praises God for His preservation of the people. And that's what we should do. When you look at chapter 5 in the Song of Deborah, verse 2, she said, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." She was so grateful that the people were willing to offer themselves unto God. Hey, you know what? I thank God for the people that show up. It's not that I'm not concerned for those that don't. But I'm not going to waste my energies and efforts and just worrying about those that don't do what they should do, or worrying about those that don't show up to the battle. Most of these nations didn't. but some did. And Deborah has enough sense to praise the Lord for those that came and celebrate for them. A lot of things I could say about that. Hey, you know, I can only preach to those that come. So we celebrate. She praised God. Deborah praised God for the people that were willing to volunteer and put their lives on the line. As she said in chapter 5, verse 9, they chose new... My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Praise God for those that were willing to serve God. Those that were willing to be faithful. And you know, we can celebrate in the great hope that we have in the Lord. The lost world can only hope for this life and what this life alone. Deborah sings about the bitter disappointment of Sisera's mother. She didn't know that her son had a tent peg stuck in his head. And she's looking for him to come back home any day. And that's what you see at the end of the book of Judges chapter 5. The mother, verse 28, the mother of Sisera looked out the window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Oh, why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Her wise ladies answered her. She returned answer to herself, "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey into every man a damsel or two? To Sisera, the prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil." When will he come home? When will he come home? Well, he never came home. He never came home. And how many people are looking out the window expecting something that will never happen? I know we keep telling ourselves everything's going to be all right. Well, in the will of our Lord, we know that everything is going to work out all right. If we're following the Lord, we're in the Lord's will. All things are going to work together for our good. All things. And may I say cautiously that even evil and our failures and our faults, that God is still in control of that. Is that right? God is still in control even in that. And God is going to get His glory no matter what. God is holy, and we can celebrate not only His justice on the enemy, but we can celebrate His mercy given through our Lord Jesus Christ. God knows what He's doing in our lives. And God, even somehow or another, I don't understand how He does it, but He even takes our worst failures. And we have them, don't we? Haven't we all messed up? We've all done things that we wish you wish you could go back, right? You ever wish you could go back and, "Man, I wish I had that choice again. Wish I could do that again." It's like some of those guys at the Masters golf, you know, I bet they wish they could go back and play those holes again, but they can't. That's over and done. We can't go back, right? But you know what? We can start today where God has brought us to, and we can go forward trusting in the Lord, trusting in His goodness, trusting in the fact that we know He's in control of it, And he can still bless and he can still use us for his honor and for his glory. So God is holy, and we can celebrate not only his justice on the enemy, but celebrate the mercy that he has given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I certainly pray that you can even turn what is bad into that which is the best. Lord, how many regrets do I have? How many times do I wish I could go back and change yesterday? But Lord, I know that yesterday's over. It's done with. But you've brought me this far. Even though I have failed you many times, you still love me, and you've brought me this far, and I just believe, according to the promises of your word, that you're going to hold on to me and bring me through this and accomplish your glory and your will. And I want that, and I pray that for myself, and I pray that for everyone that's here today. Bless these people today, Lord. I don't know every problem, every issue that the folks here are facing, but Lord, you know them. And I just pray that your glory, your will be done in our lives. Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to submit to you in all the things. And Lord, we know that you're going to work everything out for our good and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.